supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
It was 20 years ago today, NASA taught Sojourner to play. So let me introduce to you Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute, to tell us more about America seeing red. And Derek, by red, we mean the red planet.
It is the red planet indeed. It was in July of 1997 that NASA placed the first rover on the surface of Mars.
Now, of course, we were observing Mars up close and personal prior to that, but this is the first time that we actually had a craft roving the planet.
It's the first time we had a craft roving, yeah, that's right. And that's a very important distinction to make, because back in the mid-1970s, we actually did place two landers on the surface of Mars, and there were others before that. But the two landers in the mid-70s, Viking 1 and Viking 2, were sent there with the express purpose to try to look for life. And of course, the conclusions that came from their experiments were less than clear, shall we say. So there was lots of ambiguity about what actually was learned about the possibility of life. I think the conclusion overall is that, no, there wasn't any life found by those craft. But that opened the door then to Spirit and Opportunity, one of which is still operating today. And then Curiosity, which we now know of as this sort of super machine on Mars that is identifying environments where life could possibly have developed. And Spirit and Opportunity definitely tied down the question about whether there had been water on the surface of Mars. So that's over and done with. Now, Curiosity is really becoming specific about exactly what the environments were like and how conducive they would have been for the development of life and all sorts of other environmental questions that we want answered about what Mars was like in its very early history.
We've gone back to the 70s. Let's take it back even further, invoking Telstar.
It was 55 years ago that Telstar was launched, and becoming the first television communications satellite allowed us to broadcast television signals from one continent to another continent, something that had not been possible before, and it also seriously stepped up our ability for worldwide communication by phone. You know, prior to this, linking continents was done by undersea cable, believe it or not. Actual physical cables laid across the ocean floor from one continent to another, which today, of course, sounds like some kind of a Stone Age fantasy of a way to do things. But this really did open the door for global communications in an instantaneous fashion.
Invoking astronomy-related anniversaries, my favorite this time of year is any reference to Apollo 11. Now, I can't believe it, 48 years ago.
It's actually Sunday coming that 48 years ago, the first humans left Earth for a date on the moon. That date came 4 days later when two astronauts actually landed on the moon, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. We sent six crews to the moon. 12 astronauts altogether walked on the surface of the moon. We haven't been back since then, but the dream has not passed from our minds. In fact, you know, it opened up the idea of sending people on to Mars, which has been certainly a big news item over the last 2 years or so, as we look at what the company SpaceX is doing in its effort to open the doors to human space exploration with a specific claim to want to establish colonies on Mars.
Is it the notion that SpaceX would partner with NASA, or would a private enterprise take up the entire heavy lift?
No mention yet about partnering with NASA either to go to the moon or to go on to Mars. And SpaceX has its own ideas for how to establish colonies on Mars independent of any government agency or partnership with anyone else. And if you look at the progress that they've made so far with their launch vehicles, they are very, very successful. And this shows that they do have a foothold on the infrastructure and the operational capability to launch missions simultaneously, one after another, consistently with safety and success. So you could actually imagine that they could build out further to encompass not just servicing International Space Station on a regular basis successfully and safely, but to go on to bigger challenges. And that's their plan, and it seems as if they are you know, making progress step by step to get there.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.